This call may be recorded or transcribed.
It's a happy Friday, declare victory, free Mother's Day. Who's with me on the call?
Good morning. Happy Friday. This is Sister Lisa. Hey, hey. Hi, yeah, hey, hey. Free happy Mother's Day. Hey, hey. God bless you. Have a great day.
Hey, Sister Lisa. Happy Friday. And a happy Mother's Day in advance.
Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you. It's a happy Friday, declare victory. My name's Andrew. Who's with me on the call?
Good morning, it's Susie.
Hey, Sister Susie.
Hey,
happy
Brother
Friday
Andrew. Same to you, Brother Andrew. You have a wonderful and blessed day. How are things going?
So far, so good. Yeah.
Good.
Good.
Glad to hear it.
And a happy free Mother's Day to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hi, excuse me, this is Lisa again. I have a prayer request.
Okay, hold on a second.
I'm trying. Okay, pray for my grandson as far as he, he's going through. He was arrested yesterday morning, and he's never been in trouble before, and now he's, me and him is trying to repair our relationship, but he's, trying to do other sell drugs. Okay, so he got caught, and so now he's 25 years old. So I'm praying and asking, for prayer for him to God. Somebody just, he's not listening to me. So I understand he's not saved. So I'm waiting for God. I know he can do it, and he can do it for me. He can do it for him as well. So
amen.
Keep him in.
Okay. What's this? Sister Lisa, what's his name?
Tavares Jackson. And he got his high school. He's a good kid. He's very smart. I don't know. But hey, God, I'm just praying for him to, God, to move and change.
Amen. Yes. Amen. We got
Is his name Devon?
Tavares Jackson. Tavares?
Yeah, I'm not getting the name.
Devon
Jackson.
Tavares. Devon Jackson.
Tavares with a T.
Tavares. T-A-V-R-E-S. Tavares.
Okay.
Thank you.
Dion, did you have? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I called you on accident. I was trying to text you a prayer request because I wasn't gonna say nothing. Ellen Lee.
Good morning. I have a prayer request. Good morning.
Yes. I'm
this is Sunshine. I have a prayer request for my body to get into line.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any request, Sunshine?
For my body to get in line.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is La Mary Santa Gaga. All that time in Gaiaway.
Hey, Sister Yvonne.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. God definitely is on our side, and he's amazing. He's amazing. That's why he's the Most High. And I hope you have a fantabulous Friday. And I hope God goes before you, around you, and behind you. Take care of you all day. So good to hear you.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a wonderful pre-Mother's Day here at Declare Victory. My name's Andrew. Who's next on the call?
Good morning, it's Tracy.
Hey, Sister Tracy. Happy Friday.
Good morning, Brother Michael.
Hey, Brother Michael. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Right, glad you're back on the wall.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Thank you. Happy Friday to you.
Sister Dion, do you want to text me that request?
No,
good morning.
Okay. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Juanita. I also have a prayer request. If you can pray for my niece, Kiana Jackson. We've asked for prayer for her before. She's now in Peoria, out of Chicago, Illinois, and now she's back in Peoria in the hospital there. She had a procedure done the other day that was successful, putting the ventilator inside her somehow, and so now they're going to be weaning her off the external vent. After that, she may be able to go home. So we're just praying for everything to work out successfully for her. It's been a long journey.
Okay. And what is her name again?
Kiana Jackson.
Okay. And she is your niece?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
It's a beautiful morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Thank you.
Uh-huh. It's a beautiful morning here at Declare Victory. My name is Andrew. Who's next to get on the train? We are bound for glory.
Good morning, Andrew. This is Gloria. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Sure,
thank you so
sure.
much. I love you. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Hey, good morning. It's Dee Dee. Just grateful to see this day. Surgery went well. Thank you for your prayers, everybody.
Okay. Glad to hear your sound. Ain't nothing going to stop this concert. You go, Sister Dee Dee.
Amen. Just grateful.
Good morning and happy Friday. It's Trishonda. God bless you.
Hey, Trishonda. Happy Friday.
I got excited when I heard Dee Dee's voice. I had to get on and say good morning to you and good morning to everyone. God bless you.
Good morning, sugar. I'm just, like I said, grateful.
Hey.
What'd you
and got a note, too. Good morning, sis.
Morning, sister. Dion, I love you. Prayer warrior, just know that. It was Dion. I kept hearing her voice. Amen.
That's good. His hand moves through the earth. Be kind. God is great. God is good. Looking at the clock, we need to get started. So I'm going to ask everyone who can hear me, who doesn't have their phone on mute, please put your phone on mute. And those that have the mute feature activated, continue to keep it activated as we go through the call, so that when the Word of God starts to move, nothing can afflict the way one hears it. So it will do what it will be purposed to do, and everyone be blessed. My name is Andrew, and I am your host for the morning. I want to welcome you personally to Declare Victory. And we are, in case you're wondering, we are a prayer call, and we meet Monday through Friday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we're here to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please be sure to join us during the month of May, where our monthly theme is entitled, I Surrender. All the declarations will be focused on the importance of surrendering to God, considering the will and plan He has for us individually and us collectively, which allows us to walk and live with divine purpose. There's one announcement today. Friday Night Live resumes tonight, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, then 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please call in and join with us. As Dee Dee shares on the topic, the complaint department is closed. You're sure to be blessed. The prayer requests submitted on the app were non-updated. So nobody called from there. However, there were several spoken emergency prayer requests. I'll just read those off to you. So as we approach the throne of grace, keep these people and their situations on your mind. Sister Lisa is praying for Tavarin. She is going through a phase right now where he's not taking sound counsel. And he's incarcerated right now. He needs prayers. He needs prayers for God's will to be done. He needs prayer for mercy. He needs prayer for forgiveness. Even if he's not waiting for emitting these prayers himself, we who know the word of prayer need to pray for him to assist him at this time, as well as Sister Lisa. Sister Sunshine is praying that her body get in line, and we're asking the Lord to grab the reins of her mind and body and unify them and her purpose towards them. And Sister Juanita has a request for her niece. Her niece is named Shauna Jackson, and she is under ventilator care, and they're going to adjust it later today, but she is still hospitalized and still going through. So we raise our voice to the Almighty for mercy and healing for her, Shauna Jackson. But there's healing in his wings, so there's more help. Order the call as follows. Prayer and corporate praise will be brought by Brother Jeff. Declaration will be brought by Brother Marcus. And we will go straight into closing comments posted by the declarer of Star Love, Life, and Victory portion. And he'll add comments or go deeper as the will moves him to explain more for us. Scripture for today can be found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20 through 23. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing, leading, reading, doing of his word. Amen. On this holy day. This time we ask you to put your phone on mute, make sure it stays on mute, periodically check during the call that you're remaining on mute until such time as you are called to come off mute by the declarer, by the prayer warrior, or the Spirit of God himself. Now press the call to the prayer warrior, Brother Jeff, as he leads us to the gates of Zion. I now pass the call. God bless you all. Brother Jeff, if you're praying, we can't hear you.
And if he doesn't respond, I got it. Unless Brother Jonathan is on the call. John, are you there? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come saying thank you this morning. God, we bless you, and we
give reverence to your powerful name. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, for a chance at living this life, this faith out loud. We thank you that you are our refuge, our strong tower. God, the righteous run in and they are safe. Thank you, Lord, that you kept us through the night as we slept and slumbered. We bless your name this morning for your word. We thank you that your word is truth and sets us apart. We give you glory and honor this morning. We call you majesty. We call you the righteousness. God, we thank you that you are sovereign, God, that you reign supreme, that our lives and our times are in your hands. We thank you this morning for the revelation of your great love towards us. We ask, oh God, that you would keep us in your care throughout the duration of this day. God, give us the strength, the courage, and the stamina to run our race with patience, that we live our faith out loud. God, we know you this morning. We trust you. We thank you for your nature. We thank you that we are a reflection of you. We thank you, Jesus, for your perfect pattern that gave us something to observe as we move forward in day-to-day living. We ask that you give us the desire to seek after you more, God, to walk after you more, to pray like you pray, God, to trust like you trusted your purpose and the plans of your Father for your life. God, so shall we trust the plans that you have for our lives. We pray this morning for supernatural revelation and understanding of the truth of your word, that our lives would not only not be in vain, but align perfectly with the truth of what the heavens are blaring of us this morning. We pray for those that are sick in their body, Father, that they would recognize that they are spirit first, in a natural experience, God, and that our spirits have to line up with what the heavens are saying about our lives. We pray this morning for Tavares Jackson. We ask, oh God, that you would call him out of darkness into your marvelous light. We ask also, Father, this morning for Sunshine's body to align with the truth of what your words are blaring about her in the heavens. I speak, oh God, directly to Kiana and her body. I speak specifically to her respiratory system, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that even her hemoglobin system operates according to what you've written of her. We call to attention every single blood cell, that it would circulate to the proper places, God. And we thank you that we can send the word because you've already spoken it. You know the thoughts and the plans that you have for her life. I thank you, Father God, for healing Ellen. God, I thank you in advance that you're doing a new thing, not just in her body, God, but in her spirit, man, that she would be called to attention as you've already predestined her to operate in full capacity. I thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you this morning for every leader, every pastor, every teacher, those that have been given the assignment to influence, God, that we use our influence specifically to live our faith out loud. God, that we wouldn't be in places of power and be manipulative and divisive, God, but that our lives would be so surrendered and submitted that the manifestation of what you've already spoken begin to transpire and be transacted in the natural through the spirit. God, we bless you this morning. God, for every person that's on this call, you know their secret desires. You know their heart desires. You know their secret struggles. I pray, oh God, that you would empower them with strength and courage and stamina, that you would give them capacity to house the truth of what you've already said. God, we exalt you above how we feel. We exalt you above our emotions. We exalt you above our expectations. We come out of agreement with anything that does not align with the purpose plan for our lives.
God, I pray for our children this morning. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that their lives will answer who you've called them to be. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that they are great and wonderfully made. I thank you that they are perfectly imperfect because of your divine design this morning. I pray for marriages, God, that you would continue to bind them up in love and unity, that their marriages would be an example of what marriage actually is, to give glory and honor to God, that one can chase a thousand, but two tens of thousands. We give you glory this morning. I thank you this morning for the person that isn't certain of their purpose, God, that you would begin to call them into secret places of prayer, that they would sup with you and come to know you and your character. They would come to know you and your nature. God, that we'd be honorable in your sight, that we honor you with our lives in such a way that you be glorified, that you be lifted up, that all men would be drawn unto you. God, I pray this morning that we recognize our supernatural power, that we recognize that you've already given us everything that we need to operate in heavenly places. God, give us the courage to desire to see heaven on earth through our lives. We pray, oh God, this morning for mindsets, for your word declares, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I pray this morning for broken hearts, God, for spirits of unforgiveness, God. I pray, oh God, this morning that you would cover us, that you would give us the courage to relinquish aches and pains that we cannot heal. For your word declares, cast your cares on me, for I careth for you. God, give us the courage to cast this morning. Help us to lighten up our heavy load. For your word declares, let he who is heavy laden come unto me, and I'll give him rest. I thank you this morning that every anxiety is canceled. I thank you that all fear and depression is covered under the blood. God, we uproot and dismantle everything that lies to us and tells us that we not only not can't continue, God, but that we can't trust you, for you are trustworthy. This morning, we open our mouths and we tell you, God, that you are majesty. We collectively open our mouths and shout to the heavens that you are our God and we are your people and we trust you. So as we begin to take our phones off you, God, we expect you to deliver. We expect you to come through. We expect you to be exalted. We expect you to be every man. We expect you to cover us, God. We expect you to move us to the next place. God, we don't know. We command our minds to be in the sound of 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 the sound of
Hallelujah. As we begin to prepare our hearts and our minds for a word from on high, God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You could have changed your mind. Thank you simply that we woke up this morning with a portion of our health and our strength, our right minds this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that our sleep didn't turn into our cooling board. Thank you that you've given us yet another opportunity to live a life before you that brings you glory and honor. God, we bless your name. We thank you in advance for the word that will empower us, encourage us, inspire us, and enrich our lives to submit our ways unto the Lord. We know that if we surrender, when we surrender, God, that you get the glory out of our lives. We love you, and we'll be so careful to give your name the praise. We ask all these things in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son, and we ask that our spirit would gain the revelation of that truth. Hallelujah, that our body would live it out. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And God, I thank you. As I pass the call to Marcus, please make sure, please ma'am, please sir, that you mute your phone. Amen. Amen and amen.
Brother Marcus, if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
One second.
Amen. If he doesn't respond in a second, I'll just be.
Could you repeat that?
I said if he doesn't respond, I'll jump in. I'll give him just a second more. Amen. He didn't respond. Is there a gentleman that has a share? I will absolutely acquiesce. Amen. Well, praise God. And good morning, God morning, great morning, y'all. And happy Friday to each of you. My share will be short this morning, but certainly we don't want to depart without a word, especially when one is available on such an amazing to God be the glory for the things that he has done. It is always an honor to be able to share. I try to do all that I can to stay in the background as frequently as possible. But more than anything, I love celebrating our men simply because, listen, we need you. You are important. And it's okay. Marcus is out of town. And I guess he, hold on one second. Okay. All right. So nevertheless, again, I thank God for each of you, and we'll just jump right in. I think that this particular topic may be turning into one of my absolute favorites. If you're prepared, Andrew, you can go ahead.
Okay. I was on mute. You couldn't hear me.
Okay.
Good morning, family. I am not going to be before you long, but I just wanted to touch on something that I really enjoy. It's the story of Joshua. Joshua was Moses' right hand. Joshua saw the load that Moses bore for the people. Joshua understood the stress and strain that Moses went through leading the people. We see all the bells and whistles that came later, and the authority and the panache, the glory of Moses being the deliverer and Moses bringing the law, but that daily weight really pressed on him, and most of the yokemen of the gospel can tell you that it's not the work they do on the pulpit, it's not the prep that they have to do for the message that is as draining as just pastoring, trying to get the members to act right, trying to get the members to assist when they're needed. That all goes together to zap the energy out of the person that everybody goes to when there's energy needed. And so God comes to him at a time that was really critical for Israel. And you have to also understand that the people that Joshua and Caleb, because they were the two spies that fully surrendered to what they had seen of God, they were brought out of miserable, mired clay clinging to your body, slavery. One like slavery practice in the antebellum states, but it was just as bad. And it was culturally restricting. When God started to move in the camp, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that trusted him enough to believe enough that God would take them further and do exactly what he said, the way he said it. The other 10 spies, when they looked after the city of Jericho, didn't do that. So the question is, what happens now that they're on the move and Moses is not there anymore? Because again, he saw exactly what God was doing, and he saw how badly the people were in the way, stepping all over themselves. So for that, Joshua's head was spinning to the point where, I really don't think I want to do this. And Joshua was interested because he slept in the door of the tabernacle. So even his dreams did not corrupt him. So he was quite a man himself. And yet, this is not something that he wanted to do. So, for those of you with your Bibles, turn to chapter 5 in Joshua. Now read a small portion. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan, westward, and on the kings of the Canaanites, who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. Now that's interesting, because those people weren't there when God split the Red Sea, and yet they heard about it. When Joshua spies talk to Rahab, Rahab tells them about that. And Rahab is interesting because Rahab was not old enough to have seen that or been around when people were initially talking about it. That was 40 years ago. The people that Joshua and Caleb were leading were 40 years younger than they were, because those 10 spies didn't believe God had their generation pass on and pass over the threshold of life. These were their children. They were going to see the promised land. So they didn't see God split the Red Sea. They didn't see God drown the army and Pharaoh. None of that happened under their watch. So these people have a whole new blanket of distrust ready to unfurl. God is working with Joshua to get him to buy into this program. You know, one monkey doesn't stop the circus. But Rahab, who is fearful of the God of Israel, isn't old enough to have experienced the God of Israel, even visually. She's also not old enough to be pressed out of work. And the job she did, you need to be rather young for that. And so when the spies come to Rahab, she tells them what our God is and what he's like. And the fear is in them, and that's why her family gets saved. But the whole, none of this happens unless Joshua buys in. God has to deal with him. We're going to find that out in a minute. But before all of that happens, God has a job for him. Sorry, I'm having a technical issue. God comes to him and he tells them I'm still having a technical issue. Please forgive me. God tells Joshua in verse 2, first chapter, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou, all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the side of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness unto this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsaken thee. And here's the strong point. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their father to give them. Only be thou strong and be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Now, the thing is, Joshua saw everything Moses went through, and he didn't leave. But God knew he was reluctant because God said it three times. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and very courageous. Because he knew in Joshua's heart, and God reads our heart like newspapers. You'll always hear me say that. He saw and he knew that that Joshua was reluctant, didn't feel worthy, expected issues later on, didn't know if he could, you know, ride the people like he could, you know, an animal and steer it wherever, which way he needed to go. Wasn't sure if they'd cooperate. You know, because if a mule gets really tired of you, he'll just sit down. You can beat him all you want. He's not moving. And if the people quit on Joshua, you know, God's going to hold him responsible. And so God tells him three times, lead this people. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. The same, very same way. As I was with Moses, so shall I protect you. Everybody that saw Moses wanted to see Moses dead, die himself. So the protection wing is there. And all Joshua had to do, again, was fully surrender into the program, fully surrender into the will of God, and things would be fine. Again, he's 40 years older than the people that are following him. He's 40 years probably older than the servicemen, the military men that will be coming out of these cities to face him. Old age gets everybody, but it didn't get Joshua or Caleb. That's because they fully sold out to the will of God. Because of that, God's statements were going to be ringing true. Not only that, for those people that will chirp in, comma, but it don't take all that, they need to note that this older man handled everything that faced him excellently and dwelt in the land continually and ruled the people well. You know, he was not playing around, but he studied the law day and night. So when the guys were going out bowling, he was studying the law. When some of the elders had that poker tournament, he was studying the law. When there was like a weenie roast for the kids, he dropped his kids off. He went back, or he stayed there, but he brought the law with him. He was reading and studying it. That was his call. So that if a problem comes up, you will know chapter and verse what to do about it. No hesitation. You know, you're not going to have that pause like I was for devices not working properly or not fast enough. It was just something that you knew, and you do what you know. Not only that, it's critical that God said, no man will stand before you all the days of your life. That means that no matter who you face, you will come home the same way you left home, alive, unscarred. Like, no man is going to be able to handle you, Joshua, if you just listen to me. And so there are many battles to fight for Israel. That right there should have made him braver than anybody else he would see, because David didn't have that guarantee. David, by faith, assumed that God would protect him, because God would fight for him, because Goliath cursed David's God. And he knew that God was not going to stand for that. But Joshua got the all clear. You're going to live after this. David didn't know that he'd live. David could have been a martyr. And other Jephthah could have been a martyr. Moses may have been a martyr. This man was guaranteed returning from battle alive. And battles back then weren't as clean as you see them now portrayed on screen. The Bible says, when it regards David's brave men, that there was a man named Eleazar, the son of Dodo, who lifted up his spear against the Philistines and killed 800. He killed 100 and wrought a great slaughter, but he swung his sword until the blood of his enemies was so much the sword stuck to his hand. So he couldn't even get his fingers off the sword because the blood was so sticky. That's how they used to war back in the day. And so Joshua himself was going to be saved due to that. Then God says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." So now we're on the move. But it's not over yet. God gives him one commandment. And this is going to test him. God tells him, because the men are many and they're under around the age of 40, but they're the children born in the wilderness, they've not been circumcised. And it's important that they get circumcised to be part of the covenant that God, through Abraham, divine for Israel. So if they want to inherit the land, they're going to have to be partners in this covenant. That means that these grown men, have to be circumcised, which is not a little thing. But you'll see that they get circumcised. And with the circumcision, they've done their part. I'm just going through my technical difficulty again. Please bear with me. The test was to circumcise the men, and if the men responded and they joined in with the surgery, then they're going to be ready for his vast army. Verse 2, chapter 5. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, "Make thee sharp knives and circumcise again children of Israel the second time." Joshua made him sharp knives, circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskin. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the male of war died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. So this is not circumcising these men twice. It's the second time that the nation has been circumcised. They did the first group once over. Now we have to do it again because this is the second generation, and they have not been yet. So all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, then they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, so all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that flowed with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, then Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. So camp didn't move until everybody healed. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. When they started gleaning the corn that was still on the stalks in these cornfields, the manna didn't show up anymore. Now, remember, the manna was for the people in the wilderness to eat while they were still in the wilderness. Now they're ready to be on the move, and the manna's not going to fall anymore. And then it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Now, on the timeline of the lesson this morning, and I'm sorry that I'm not more polished with it, timeline shows us that Moses died. God buried Moses. God was very careful to bury Moses because the people, especially Satan, would want to resurrect Moses' body and have the people follow Moses and not God. So God buried Moses in the mountains. Nobody could get access to the body. And when Satan tried to go get the body, scriptures tell us that Michael, the archangel, fought him or contested him for the body. And then it says during this exchange, lest he, when Michael was combating him, lest he bring a railing accusation to Satan, say something that Satan didn't do as if he did, he said, the Lord rebuke thee. But Satan wanted Moses' body. God buried Moses' body himself. And that's a pretty amazing pallbearer, if you ask me, to have the Lord do that. But Moses was buried. The people lamented and wept and wanted Joshua to send people to look for him because he went up to the mountain and then never came back. They said, well, maybe something happened to him. Maybe he fell off somewhere. Well, once that got handled, Joshua was like, I told you he was dead. God comes to him with a commandment, circumcise the people. People got circumcised. It was efficient. They stayed in place until they healed. Now they're healed. Now it's over. Everybody got it. Nobody sneaked away and didn't get it. There's nobody failing the law. There's nobody disobeying Joshua and thereby disobey God. So, as he's standing there following Moses, following God like Moses did, God does another act. This time, there's a man who Joshua hadn't seen before up in the camp, standing against him. Now, to stand against somebody, and the gentleman on the call will understand this, and the ladies on the call who maybe used to tussle back in the day, when you stand against somebody, you square up on them. It's not standing near someone. It's not standing and moving towards someone. You square off against them. You're in a position to fight. You're not just in the neighborhood. You came with purpose. And when Joshua sees this, and the man, has a sword drawn in his hand, Joshua doesn't hesitate. He goes over. Why does he go over? Because God just told him, all the days of your life, no man shall be able to stand against you. Neither will this one. He fully surrendered to what God told him. God said, no man can whip you. No man can whip you. So he goes over. And this man had his sword out. Doesn't even say that he has a scabbard to put it in. His sword is out, and he's going to stay out. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Are you on our side or are you on their side? Because again, Joshua was ready to fight. Verse 14. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And when Joshua heard that, Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? When he heard the captain of the host of the Lord, he knew that this was no angel. He knew that this was not just anybody. And what I love is the captain of the host of the Lord said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So, walking backwards, God has a one-on-one meeting with Joshua. He tells him three times, be strong and courageous. And Joshua does. He's strengthened and encouraged by what God told him. All he has to do is what Moses did. And he saw up close and personally what Moses did. He has the instructions for how long to do it. As long as he's here, as long as he's in leadership. And so he studies the word and he dispenses the word as long as he's alive. Life sentence, he's got it. He's good. The next thing God tells him is a rather large task, his first test. Let's see how you do it. And he throws himself into it. You see, Joshua is pristine and efficient and acting out this particular test. He wasn't playing around. Everybody snapped to and walked in line. So this is looking like this is starting off really good. And then God sets up the blessing. And as Joshua is walking around, he sees a man, doesn't identify the man, doesn't identify anything else about a man, but that his sword is drawn, and it's out in his hand, and he's still there. So Joshua goes up to him, says, "Are you for us, or are you for our adversaries?" Sort of like, are you with us? Are you with our enemies? And the captain said, neither. This war is, this conflict is bigger than you can suggest. So I'm not with you. I'm not with them. I am with the Lord. I'm the captain. I'm just not some mean soldier. I'm not an average watchman. I am the captain. I run the forces for the Lord. They answer to me. And when Joshua heard that, he immediately fell on his face. And there's that verb that we don't see very often with heavenly visitations. He worshiped. And he wasn't told not to. He wasn't told, "I was a servant like you are," like so many angels have told people that have seen them or wondered at what their name is. Joshua doesn't even ask his name because he already knows who it is. And so he says, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. Just like Moses, just like Joshua, when Moses rolled up on the bush that burned but could not be consumed, meaning that he saw the bush burning, but there was no smoke coming off of it. It was just the fire he saw, no smoke. In a desert area, when there's a fire breaking out, there's always smoke. Not this time. So he noted that. And then when Moses went over, God told him, "Take the shoes off your feet. This ground is holy, because I'm holy and I'm here. I sanctify everything about me." And so Moses took off his shoes. So he was going to stand on holy ground just as the Lord asked him, like the Lord made him from the beginning. Nothing man-made would come between him and that holy ground. Nothing corrupted would make something corrupted to be between him and God. It's amazing how that symmetry aligns. But Joshua wasn't told not to worship. So theologians call this a Christophany. That's a pre-Bethlehem visitation by the Lord. And the Lord was very calm. He's like, "Take your shoes off. We're going to have a conversation." Now that was Joshua chapter 5. The first verse in chapter 6 reads, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." That's the beauty of Joshua's selling out. That's the beauty of his surrender. God told him 3 times, "Be strong, be very courageous. For this undertaking, it's a big deal. There's a lot of weight. But I think you
I know you can do it. You'll win all your battles. Just follow me, like Moses followed me. And Joshua was like, okay, let's go. He did the first commandment, and now we move towards bigger things. And the biggest thing is he sees that the Lord is fighting for him. The captain of the Lord's host showed up. He didn't see anybody else, but the captain doesn't travel by himself. The captain travels with his troops. They're there. He just can't see them. But if he knows the captain is there, oh, the force is behind him. And so Joshua just needed to know that he had to put himself in the fight. Not only was he going to return from the fight, but the fight was going to be waged with the forces that come behind him, and they will defeat the enemy. And if you needed backup, the Lord is sending people too. Oh man, that just gets me. I love that. And you know what happens in Jericho when the two spies, they send two spies this time. Joshua and Caleb learned from their trekking that it doesn't take 12. It only takes two. So they sent two spies into the city, and they found a prostitute, and they went into her because it would not be a real big deal for strangers to go to the home of a prostitute. When they speak to her, she tells them of the fear she has of the Hebrew God and how she heard. But again, we're not explained who she heard that from. She just knows that our God split the Red Sea, drowned the Egyptian army, because prior to that, and we're going to shake the Bible history before I close, when in the book of Daniel, God gives Daniel a dream about a statue. That statue represents world-leading nations, like militarily ruling the world, if you would say. They're worldly kingdoms. The first one was run by Nebuchadnezzar. That was Babylon. The next was Medo-Persia, which evolved into Persia no Medo. And from there you have Greece, and then you have Rome. But the thing is, these were world kingdoms, world conquering kingdoms. What you don't maybe understand is the fact that when Egypt was doing its thing, it was a localized power. It wasn't trying to dominate the world. It was real happy staying by the Nile. And so they may come over to you and whip you just to make you give them tribute. They were not just picking up everything and leaving, or like, you know, sliding the capital this way. They weren't doing any of that. So one thing that you have to understand is Babylon was the first world power. And then after that, you follow Dong and Daniel to see what the other world powers are going to be. just centuries of years and years of domination are coming through those books. But God has his eye on the countries and the men that run them. And he's fully in control. It's a hard thing to walk through life thinking that all of what goes around us is sort of like willy-nilly. It's not. We have a God that pays attention. We have a God that speaks his mind. We have a God that's not playing games. And we have a God that will chastise his children, but punish those other giving enemies free rein, hurting the children and the orphans, the widows, the lame. He's our God now. And nothing is going to stop that. But when Joshua got everybody together, he told, well, the spies told Rahab, if you don't, basically, if you don't send army soldiers chasing us, if you don't tell anybody who we really were, if you don't help them capture us, you know, we will save you. Just hang this red scarlet cloth out your window and we'll make sure that you're okay. Well, the thing is, her apartment was built in the wall. She actually lived in the wall. The walls were wide enough to have 4 to 5, depending on who tells the story, chariots running abreast over the wall on the very top. Now, from there, we see that every day when Israel started moving, every day they would walk around the city, which is a large city. This is not going to be like a 20-minute walk. They'd walk around the city without saying a word, completely silent. Next day, same thing. When they got to the 7th day, they'd walk around the city 7 times. All quiet, not saying a word. Not going home and speaking. Just not saying a word. And at the end of that week, they just threw their hands up and they screamed praises and then went into the city. When they screamed, when they used their voice, being surrendering to the will of God, not cutting anything short, making sure they fully surrendered to the will of God and trust in his hand, going to war for them as their leader, Joshua, fully trusted, fully surrendered in God's plan, because it technically didn't make sense. What makes the Jordan army not want to shoot them with arrows right now? But they didn't. Whatever the reason, whatever the approach, it worked. And God protected him. So he would have no problem, you know, going before the people, knowing that he'd come back to the people unharmed. And what happened was their voices were so powerful that the walls fell down. But her wall, where her apartment was, fell in such a way that not only did nobody get hurt inside, it fell so that the red cloth was easily seen. And the Hebrews grabbed everybody from her apartment, took them out. That's an amazing, when did you have like a tall, long brick stone building and people inside it have it fall on its face and nobody get hurt? That's got to be God. And they got them out and they killed everybody else. And that city was taken just like that. So Joshua, in review, Joshua had big shoes to fill. Not a lot of time to do it. You don't see where Moses is getting this like month-long departure brief. God was like, okay, I'm going to take you today. And Joshua is going to be alone. Maybe he thought that God would get Aaron to do it. But God calls Joshua. So now Joshua's got to, he doesn't even have time to say no. God just moves like Joshua's going to be in your stead. And Joshua was a good man. Again, I said he slept in a tabernacle, but God had eyes on him to be the warrior leader, to be the captain of the Hebrew host. And he did marvelously. Caleb did marvelously. Caleb wanted the mountain where the giants lived. Yeah, he's like, yeah, give me the mountain. I'll take it. But before he died, as he was aged, and he said, I'm getting ready to go to the land of our fathers, meaning that he was going to die. He's like, he gave the people like one last commandment. He's like, choose you this day whom you will serve. You can serve the gods of the Egyptians who are still on that side Jordan, meaning you could serve the gods of the Egyptians who didn't help, were too weak to fight against our God, and you could go back there if you want to, or you can worship the gods of this land in Canaan, whom you defeated. So you could get the weak gods in Egypt that couldn't do anything, or the weak gods in Canaan, which didn't do anything. Then he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So he was strong at the end to speak for his grown kids. A lot of people say that, well, you know, I've got children and I you know, they're grown now. They got their own homes and I can't really do anything with them now. That's not what Joshua said. Joshua said, them too. We are going to serve the Lord. And it's beautiful that his life unfolded that way. He was serious about the Lord. We need to be too. We don't know what twisty ends are going to come up in our lives. All we know is God is taking care of us really well. And God made sure to tell Joshua exactly what he's going to be doing. We don't all get direct instructions like that. Sometimes working for him is all a matter of faith. But God tells Joshua, just stick with me. Just obey me. And he's telling us the same thing. Just stick with him. Just obey him. You don't need to see the final script. You don't need to see the write-up of how this is going to work. Just trust him and obey him. It may feel hard, but when you, like Joshua and Caleb, could see his handiwork of all the things that he brought you from, all the things he protected you from, all the things that he brought you around. It shouldn't be hard. It should be easy to trust it. Thank you for your attention and your time. I'm now opening it to anyone who wasn't able to say good morning. You can take those times now.
Good morning, Andrew. Jubilant. Good to hear your sound this morning.
Good morning, Jubilant. Happy Friday.
Good morning, Andrew. It's Moni.
Good morning, Moni. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Good morning.
Who was that?
Good morning, Brother Andrew. It's Persistent. Thank you for
Stephanie.
And yeah, thank you for the word.
Thank you.
Good morning, Andrew. It's Miss B.
Hey, Miss D. Happy Friday.
Good morning. Good morning, Brother Andrew. It's Moxie. Happy Friday.
Hey, Moxie. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday.
Good morning. This is Tenacious T, Pastor Andrew.
Hey, Tenacious T. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Faber Friday, Andrew. It's Rochelle. Have a good day, everyone.
Hey, Rochelle. Happy Friday. Is there anyone else? Okay. Are there any questions or comments for this morning's lesson? I'm sorry it sounded so scattered, but it's always a privilege to speak for the Lord out of the Lord's book. And yes.
I'm sorry, I was letting you finish your thought. It's Krishanda. I just wanted
hi.
I just wanted to say thank you for stepping in and reminding us how God was with Joshua. It was perfect timing for me to hear that word today. So thank you for being obedient. God bless you. Love you.
Love you too, Krishanda. Thank you.
Hey, Andrew. Can you hear me?
Hey.
I'm laughing. I say, you said, my ain't going to be long. Okay, you know, I have to joke with you about that. I was like, man,
yeah.
For you not to be prepared, you sure gave us the whole, wow. So reminding me just that Joshua trusted God with every aspect of his life. So that surrendering to me, like to surrender all, everything, surrender, I surrender all. Just that's all I could hear when you were sharing. It's like thinking through all that he went through, he surrendered all and he trusted God with it. So he was blessed. And I needed to hear that this morning, just to surrender all and to trust. Just trust him for everything. I sometimes just with the cares of life, you know, can get kind of thrown off and waver a little. So that story was a real good reminder. Just trust him with every aspect of your life. Surrender to him, and everything else just falls in place. So thank you, brother. I love you.
Love you too, Dee Dee. Yeah. The thing is, like, if you're looking from the outside in, you're gonna have a lot of opinions, because church folk do, meaning that okay, he doesn't have a life. All he does is, like, what he does in the day, he does at night, at home. He doesn't spend time with his kids. You know, what's going on? That's what God told him. And because he's older than everybody else underneath him, he saw God's hand. He saw exactly what could happen to you if you don't listen to God. He wasn't really trying to play that role. And Caleb, too. Caleb was like, okay, the biggest men on this mountain, yeah, they're mine. I want them. You know, and Caleb got them. Where they messed up was ones that started making treaties with the people and living with them. Those were the ones that messed up. And then God said, oh, okay, because you didn't want to listen, I'll leave them here. You're supposed to kill everybody, but I'll leave them to be a stumbling block against you. That's when you look in our country and its history, the people that were coming over, okay, to celebrate the first Thanksgiving, they were starving. And the indigenous folks that were already here came and fed them and helped them. And then they turned to killing them. They would say that they were the 13th tribe of Israel. Sometimes they make it seem that our manifest destiny was that we conquered this land just like it was Canaan. And so the putting disease blankets on horses and running them through the camp, or just shooting people and making them slurs and all sorts of mean things that you could do to another human, they did because they saw them as Israel. This was Israel's command, nobody else's. It only made sense to Israel, but that was heavy. I mean, these giants weren't just up there playing. And if the giants were bad just for being bad sake, you know, if they were all like Goliath, then what's going to stop them from not only ruling the mountain, but also Jericho? Jericho had those walls for some reason. May have been because of the children of Anak. Those giants and the Hittites, some of these other warring people. You remember the Hittite name from Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And if you check world history, the Hittite nation was one of these nations that was ascendant in the Fertile Crest. They were some tough somebodies. You know, everybody around them bowed the knee because they had the best fighters. And Uriah was one of them. He was one of David's mighty men. And so everything that was going on in Canaan was rough. I mean, you know, nobody was weak. There were no easy wins taking cities out of Canaan. And they were all city-states. And God got this little ragtag group who didn't know how to fight, right? They weren't sons of soldiers in Egypt. They were sons of slaves in the wilderness. You didn't have a whole lot of weapons in the wilderness. You made them. And from there, they walked through the whole land. See, we really don't talk about that when we cover that part of the Old Testament. We just talk about faith and, you know, they went and they fought and Moses' arms got tired, and so Hur stood on one side and Aaron stood on the other. They held Moses' arms up, and when his arms were up, then Joshua and the army prevailed. Yeah, it's done a completely different way. You kind of just smooth your way through. But this was nasty business. These men were big. These men were strong. Look at Goliath. Goliath was the champion coming out of the Philistine camp. He wasn't the only giant in the Philistine camp. He had brothers, and he had sons, but he whipped them all. And we don't know how many other families of giants were over there. Probably not just Goliath. But God got them through everything. So when we look at our days, all the things that could possibly happen, we can come to a lot of conclusions, but the best thing is to trust God.
Good morning. Good morning, Andrew. My name is Kim, and this is my first time on this call, and I just want to thank you for the word and for everything that you've been sharing, and this was perfect for me this morning. But what I've heard you say all throughout, and what I heard God telling me all throughout, is our labor to stay at rest is our job. All of the heavy lifting is done by God. All of the battles, but the difficulty is when you're facing those Goliaths every day. It's not being intimidated, laboring to stay in that rest, that confidence. That's the fight that we have. So grateful. Thank you so much this morning.
Amen. Well, let me say welcome to the call to you. That's so great that this is your first time. But do you mind me asking who invited you?
Good friend, longtime friend, Gloria Hicks.
All right. Praise God, Gloria. Thank you for doing your work. It's definitely, we are stronger for your number. And we thank you for joining us this morning. Usually, things go a lot smoother, but it's Men's Day on our Fridays, and Dion pulls enough freight without saddling her with stuff on Men's Day.
It's perfect. It was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Okay. Well, thank you, and please join us. Join us again on Monday.
Thank you. I will.
We have powerful speakers. We have powerful prayer people. We have powerful situations that God is bringing us through, and we collectively praise Him. We collectively share. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because God is good, and His blessing is in the land. And as messed up as this country is right now, all we have to do is humble ourselves and pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways. Then we'll hear from heaven, forgive, and He'll forgive our sin, and He'll hear the land. We can speed that process up. This is one of the ways we do it. We start fellowshipping with people we don't know and just spread the love that He brings in us, because He loved us first. And then we can just, again, fully surrender into the promises that He gave us and do it. If people knew that's all we had to do to fix the country, it should have been fixed by now. But most don't. Most just, ignore that part. But I'm very, very psyched that you joined us today. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, do you know about our website?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Cool. Well, everybody, I apologize for keeping you so long. We're usually not on this long, but it's past 10:35 on the West Coast, so I'm going to end my portion of it. We can always continue this on Facebook. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Andrew Hart, but I just want to thank everybody that's still on And if all minds are clear, I will end it with a word of prayer. Our Father God, our Creator, the Most High, Creator of us all, our Heavenly Father, as we bow before your throne, Father God, we thank you for the morning that you gave us. We thank you for the life in our bodies. We thank you for the thoughts in our head. We thank you for the breath in our bodies and the independence in which we wield. Father God, we ask that you be with everyone in a real way every day. I ask that you go before us, Father, to make easy our way. I ask that you go behind us, Father, to fix what we have left broken. And I ask that you fight to our side, Father, that you keep things from approaching us in ways that we will never see, because you are a sweet wonder and we need you today. Feed us our daily bread, Father God. Cover us above our heads. Cover us below our feet, Father God, that we may have time and the space to witness of you to a world that long denies you or laughs you off. Help us in our home, Father God. Help us on our jobs. Help us as we drive. Help us as we walk to and fro in this earth that you created for your majesty, Father. Bless the moms that are coming to their holiday this Sunday. Bless those that have never bore any children, Father God. Bless those that were born when they celebrate with their moms. For those who have heavy hearts because their mom is gone, Father God, we ask that the memories of their mom be a sweet blessing to them. Lift them up, Father God. Make them smile, even if she's smiling tears of joy, Father God, for the mom they lost. Let all hearts rejoice at the beautiful idea of mother, for she is heaven sent. These and other blessings we ask in Jesus' name. I say amen. Have a good day, y'all.
Amen.
Happy Mother's Day
to
everybody.
Have a great weekend.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone.